the name of the Shepherd who calls us each by name, Creator, Redeemer, and Sustainer. This is the fourth Sunday of Easter, the middle Sunday of the season that we know as the Great 50 Days. And it's always known as Good Shepherd Sunday. Every year, the fourth Sunday is Good Shepherd Sunday. For reasons I don't know, on this fourth Sunday, we shift our focus from Jesus' resurrection and the resurrection appearances toward the Pentecost event. In today's readings, we are presented several times with familiar shepherd motif. The text from Revelation declares that the Lamb at the center of the throne will be their shepherd. And the gospel reading is about belonging to God as sheep belong to a shepherd. Perhaps nowhere is this metaphor more poignantly presented than in the beloved 23rd Psalm, which assures us that God, the shepherd, guides, leads, and restores us even in the darkest times. The gospel that we read today calls us back to a time before the crucifixion, and we see Jesus walking about in the temple. This temple, built to the glory of God by the great King Solomon, had been destroyed by the Babylonians in the 6th century before BCE when they conquered the Israelites. Remnants of it remained, including the portico of Solomon. And Jesus is in Jerusalem for the Feast of the Dedication when they reconsecrated the restored temple. As he's walking about, the Jews gather around him with questions, maybe even taunting him. How long will you keep us in suspense? If you're the Messiah, tell us right now. We want to know. It's important to remember that all the references in John's Gospel to the Jews are not to the Jewish people as a whole, but to the religious authorities who were in constant conflict with Jesus and who now are disputing among themselves. So Jesus replies to their question that his life and teaching had already provided all the evidence anyone could ask. His teaching and his healing ministry were well known. In the previous chapter of John, we know about the man born blind that Jesus had healed. And there again, Jesus got into conflict with the religious authorities. But everything Jesus did, he did in the name of God. And his challengers want a straightforward reply from him, saying, well, now tell us for sure. Tell us plainly. The issue here is that the Hebrew tradition taught that when the Messiah came, he would be a powerful king, and he would drive out the oppressors, and he would rule with justice for the poor and the weak, and restore right worship, and bring a golden age of prosperity for everybody. Jesus would certainly not be that. And he knew that if he answered in the affirmative, his enemies would accuse him of blasphemy and even try to stone him. So he refuses the bait. Instead, as he often did, he turned the question back to them, saying, I've told you, and you just don't believe, with probably some impatience in his voice. How has he told them? His work, he says, testify to who he is. And there's plenty of evidence, he assures them. The real issue, he tells them back at them, is their own unbelief. We've heard the adage, actions speak louder than words, and Jesus points to his deeds. We come to know the heart of a person by knowing how that person lives and acts. that's what Jesus is saying. Look at what I've done, and then decide who I am, which is all any of us can do. Then Jesus says his sheep know who he is, and that they recognize him and follow him, while others don't. When I read this text, it sounds a little exclusionary to me, as if some are in and some are out, and I don't like it. It makes me feel uncomfortable. So as I read some more, what I think understood that Jesus is saying is that we can choose to follow him or not, that exclusion is self-imposed, that God wants relationship with each and every one of us, and that Christ is the one who initiates that relationship with us sheep. We don't choose him or make him as our shepherd. He calls each one of us by name. At the same time, we can opt in or opt out. And from time to time, I confess I opt out. Some days I'm better at following Jesus than others. Some days I can believe Jesus more. Some days I reflect his love and care for others better than other days. Like Mary's little lamb, some days I follow Jesus to school, and other days I decide to just sleep in. And what helps me stay connected to Jesus is relationships, people, friends, loved ones. As the spiritual writer Richard Rohr says, humans are not independent beings, nor is any part of creation. All exist in radical relationship. I would say salvation is the readiness and the willingness to stay in relationship. As long as you're vulnerable to someone, the Spirit can keep working in you, but self-sufficiency makes God experience impossible. My friends, we need each other. As far as I know, from what little farm experience, which is like none that I've had, sheep function mostly in flocks, with other sheep, with their sister and brother sheep, in Jesus' flock. In other words, we're not in this alone. It's not about me. It's about us together. We learn to follow Jesus, to recognize Jesus, to serve Jesus with others in community. Brother Curtis of the Society of St. John the Evangelist puts it this way. There is no private faith in Jesus. It's always a public faith, personal yet public. Jesus always worked with groups. He spoke to groups, he fed groups, he ate with groups, he healed people in groups. When we read that he encountered individuals, they were representatives of a group, or he sent these individuals back to their group. St. Paul said that these groups of Jesus' followers were like a body, very diverse parts, a foot, a hand, different from one another, but these parts are absolutely interconnected and interdependent. It's not about me individually or you individually. It's about all of us together. You and I are Jesus' sheep together. This communal identity for the followers of Jesus then will form everything that we do. It will inform how we treat one another, our way of speaking to each other and listening to each other, our kindnesses, our offering of forgiveness, or our sharing of our relationships, our resources. Our belonging to one another will make us especially attentive to those who are different from us. And Jesus talks about this repeatedly. Our belonging to one another is because we all belong to God. It's in community, in the daily, hourly business, trying to live out the example of Jesus. The business of walking daily in the shepherd's footsteps is how we learn to belong to one another. In living in the company of fellow sheep, we learn to follow the shepherd. We belong to the flock, we have a place among the sheep, we eat at the table, and we bring our children for baptism, and we pray that we grow in relationship and grow in relationship and trust in the shepherd. And together, we belong before and as we grow into believing. Remember that the prayer Jesus gave us is the Our Father, not My Father. And all the petitions in that prayer are plural. We belong to one another. We need one another. We all bear God's image. And all persons are loved totally and unconditionally by the shepherd. Belong, Jesus says. Consent to belong. Belief will follow. During this transition time that we're in, the need for community, particularly this community, is stronger than ever. You and I are the ones called to keep its strength up. We're each called to make a conscious effort to uphold the values, our values of radical welcome and hospitality and social justice and inclusion. As our beloved rector, Father Lang, retires, we need to work with one another, support one another, listen to one another, be patient with one another, honor and trust and love one another. There will be no doubt some changes. That goes with the territory. And the community of St. Paul's will thrive, will continue to thrive. And through this transition time, if you have questions, please, please, please speak to the wardens. Know that God loves and cares for us all the time through this process. We will never be abandoned. Remember, too, that this is God's church, and God is in charge, and we are the stewards of it. And most of all, it is still Easter, the time of resurrection and joy. Alleluia, Christ is risen.
Glory.